On today's episode, Evan Winter is with me to talk fantasy football. We are breaking down running backs.
Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. Blue Chew, that's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, you know, a lot of guys talk a big game, but if you're a one-and-done kind of guy, Blue Chew can even help you get to round number two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for all our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to try Blue Chew for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. But I gotta know
what's your fantasy. What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. It is Fantasy Football Thursday during the season. We'll be here on Thursday to give you some last-second fantasy football advice as you get your lineup set right before that Thursday night game. Hopefully help you win some bragging rights, maybe some money. During this, I will be joined by Bucs Nation's own Evan Winter. You can follow him on Twitter at Evan_Winter. You've heard from him. You've seen him all during training camp. Now he's going to be with us, a permanent fixture for the season, helping me deliver some fantasy football advice in the middle of the week, every week. Evan, thanks so much for doing this with me for the entire year, for one. But of course, how have you been since we last talked, and how's it being back in Nashville?
I mean, it's good, man. It's good to be home. You know, obviously, I'd rather be out there in Tampa doing training camp and all that good stuff. But no, I mean, I'm doing great, man. Had a long day today at the office, but that's to be expected every now and then. And like I said, wish I was back at camp, but I'm happy to be here.
I feel you, man. I'm counting down the minutes until Saturday, and then, you know, those 10 days are going to fly by, I'm sure, as well. And we'll be on back onto our regular grind as well. Before we get to fantasy football, we're going to talk about the big story coming out of Tampa right now as they get ready to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in a couple days, or, well, tomorrow as you're listening to this. And that's defensive tackle Vita Vea. We've all seen the video by now. I want to say that our own Gil Garcia was the first person to tweet it out. Not really sure. He was definitely the first person that came across my Twitter timeline. And, I mean, it just looks bad from the jump. He's doing a position drill. It's just a one-on-one with Alex Kappa. And then the left knee buckles. He goes down, clutches the knee. You saw later that he kind of walked off. A couple other angles showed that he was limping, stuff like that. And then we get some mixed reports. There's going to be an MRI Friday. There was an MRI on Tuesday. I think it's kind of a little bit of both. I think there was an MRI on Tuesday, but it was inconclusive, so they're going to go back Friday. First and foremost, Evan, I mean, you wrote it up for the site. What was your first reaction when seeing Vita Vea go down like that?
I mean, NSFW on that one. That was my first reaction. That's not good, man. We saw last year where he strained his calf on the first day of padded practice, and he ended up not seeing the field again in a playing capacity until week four against the Bears. So another lower leg injury for a big man, that's never good, especially for one who was pretty much supposed to be the center piece of the defense.
You don't want to get too presumptuous with these kinds of things, especially lower body injuries. But seeing him go down like that, you know, some ACL tears, some knee injuries look worse than others do. But every time you see a guy go down like that, your mind immediately goes to the ACL, even though it could be a number of different things. And then hearing that they did an MRI early, I don't know. Like, it's kind of hard, especially with this coaching staff, with this bunch, because there's really not a lot of history. But it just kind of feels to me like they're saying that if Tuesday's test is confirmed on Friday, that it's mostly good news. But I feel like if it was good news, maybe you wouldn't have to go back in Friday. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. So I've had MRIs, but I've never run an MRI. Does a retest cause you any concern, or is that just me kind of being you know, like a vita vea truther? Like, no, man, this dude needs to be okay. So now obviously I'm paranoid that I'm catastrophizing, as we say in the business.
It just depends on who you've read, who you believe, what you've seen, basically, who you're listening to, rather. If you read what Rick Stroud wrote this morning, he said that Vea went in Tuesday evening for an MRI and they didn't like what they saw. Therefore, they scheduled more tests throughout the week and something to do about knee swelling. But then if you see Jenna Lane and or Trevor Sikkema, they're saying that the MRI is Friday. So I think it's like you're saying, I think he underwent some kind of test Tuesday and then he's receiving more throughout the week. But regardless, man, I'm going to go ahead and brace for the worst on Friday. You know, that way at least I'm a little bit numb to it. It's still going to suck once you officially hear the news. But, yeah, just go ahead and brace for the worst because, I mean, it's a Bucs life after all.
It is indeed a Bucs life.
Real quick, Jenna Lane actually tweeted out at 4:30 Central, so it would have been 5:30 Eastern, that Vea did have an MRI Tuesday night. So, and there was some swelling and all that other stuff. But so they're going to get it looked at again. And okay. Bruce Arians said that the original prognosis was good, quote, end quote.
And it kind of blends into the other news today that didn't get a whole lot of reaction, probably because a lot of the Vita Vea stuff coming out and everybody kind of holding their breath, like you said. And that is a list of players who are not going to be traveling to Pittsburgh today as people are listening to this episode. And that, of course, is Vita Vea. Obviously, if he's getting an MRI Friday, they probably want to leave him in Tampa to do so. Linebacker Levante David, who we already know has a quote-unquote minor knee issue with a minor meniscus tear or a little meniscus tear going on, will also be staying back. Linebacker Jack Sitchie, cornerback Jamel Dean, linebacker Anthony Nelson, safety Dakota Dixon, safety Justin Evans, wide receiver Scotty Miller, and quarterback Nick Fitzgerald are all also on the list staying back in Tampa. Evan, what stands out from that list to you? What's disappointing from that list for you? And what do you think about those names?
The injury to Levante David, keeping him out, that's big. And then didn't you say Dakota Dixon was on that list as well?
Yeah, he is. He definitely is.
Yeah, that's big, man. That really stands out to me just due to the fact that he's been playing pretty well in camp. And you hope it's nothing injury-wise. I mean, obviously, you don't know the reasons why right now, or maybe we do. But that one really sticks out to me. I mean, he had a really good shot, or he was leading towards a good shot at having the backup strong safety role. So that one stands out to me the most.
Yeah, I think his name is the one that pops out to me the most as well. I like linebacker Jack Sitchie. I was very excited last year when the Buccaneers grabbed him up, but I think that was almost a little bit expected. I think Trevor Sikkema even tweeted that he's pretty sure the team is just kind of easing him back from his injury, which makes a lot of sense. Jamel Dean is a guy that I was kind of looking forward to seeing just because I really kind of want to see where he fits in that cornerback group. But like you said, man, Dakota Dixon is the guy that I was looking for with the safety situation going on, Justin Evans still being injured, and who knows if and when he's coming back and what role he's going to serve in. But with the rest of that safety battle really kind of being, I don't want to say wide open, but I think there's definitely some snaps to be taken, even with Mike Edwards doing as well as he is, and then with Jordan Whitehead coming back. So I really kind of felt like Dakota Dixon was in a position to show up to Pittsburgh and really be able to solidify himself a little bit as one of those bubble favorites. Anthony Nelson, for obvious reasons. Scotty Miller, man, I have been our editor, site manager, Gil, was at training camp the other day, and he kind of asked us who we wanted to look out for. And I asked him to look out for Scotty Miller because Scotty Miller just hasn't been getting a lot of press. Come to find out, he's been nursing a little bit of a hamstring injury, which obviously explains that. For such a small guy with so much fast twitch going on, his hamstrings have got to hold up to NFL workouts and NFL punishment. So hopefully that's something that can get figured out. But I'll tell you what I'm a little bit excited for, Evan, and not to be happy that Nick Fitzgerald isn't traveling, but if Nick isn't going, then you know who is going.
Who would that be?
Young Vinny Testaverde is going. And I want to see Vinny Testaverde. I don't know if he likes being called Vinny, honestly. I could actually see him probably being annoyed by that. But Vincent, in case he gets annoyed by it, I'll call him Vincent. I want to see Vincent Testaverde suited up for the Bucs playing in a preseason game. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, he should definitely get some snaps in the first week. So, yeah, I'll definitely be on the lookout for that one as well.
Definitely. But what I'm even more excited for than seeing Vincent Testaverde on the field for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is fantasy football coming up. My draft is after the third week of the preseason because I play in a very smart league, just like hopefully all of our listeners do. And they're going to need some advice, and we're here to give them some advice. So, Evan, we're talking running backs. You took the North and South, which means you're talking NFC South, NFC North, AFC South, AFC North, trying to prevent me from talking trash about the Titans running backs. And I got the East and the West, NFC and AFC as well. Evan, let's kick it off with you, brother. Go wherever you want. Kick us off. We're going top three running backs. And then if we have one, I've got one for all four. I know I told you I probably wouldn't have one for all four, but I got a don't draft guy for all four divisions. So if you have one of those, share that with the good people.
I'll do it. So we'll start with the AFC North. And, man, this one was actually pretty tough. And some people are probably not going to like my ranking, especially Bengals fan. But I did James Conner. There we go. He was number one. Nick Chubb is number two. And Joe Mixon is number three. My reasons for – and then, obviously, Mark Ingram's in Baltimore. But, you know, that's – Lamar Jackson's going to give it, like, 10 carries a game. So you got to worry about your own quarterback eating into carries over there. And then you got Gus Edwards behind him. But the reason I picked Connor, just I feel like he's in the best situation. He has the best quarterback, shot at Baker. And I'm interested to see how well the offensive line does without Mike Munchak. I mean, not just because I'm a Titans guy, but also Mike Munchak is probably the best offensive line coach in the league. So I'm really interested to see how that line performs without him. But overall, Connor has the best situation, in my opinion. Nick Chubb, great year last year, but you got to prove it. He's also in a very good position, though, with a very good offense. And then Joe Mixon, they've already lost Jonah Williams. AJ Green's already beat up. You got freaking Andy Dalton at quarterback. I know he had a good year last year, and he was, I believe, a top 10 back last year. But nah, I almost picked Mark Ingram over him, to be honest. But Mixon is a great receiver out of the backfield. So that's going to get you points in a PPR league.
Yeah, Joe Mixon at third, I think, is a little bit of a hot take with Chubb and James Conner above him. But I'll tell you, man, this isn't the first time that somebody's talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers being kind of at the top of that list a little bit. And I know this is just one position player, but did you have a don't draft guy? Do you have a guy that people that is on draft boards, but people should just stay away from?
Out of the AFC North, yeah. For running backs or just for in general?
For running backs.
For running backs, I would say I'm just going to go. I mean, I guess I would say don't draft Mark Ingram.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. Yeah, I definitely would probably stay away from Mark Ingram. I mean, he's never been able to hold it down by himself going back to New Orleans. And like you said, with Lamar Jackson there, I mean, they're going to be stacking the box anyway, daring Lamar Jackson to try to throw over somebody's head. And Lamar Jackson's getting 10 quarterback draws or whatever a game as it is. So, yeah, I think that's pretty sound advice for the AFC North there. Why don't you wrap out the North and let's hit the NFC North before I take my first swing at – we'll go to the East with my first swing.
All right, cool. So for the NFC North, again, this is probably going to surprise some people, but I've got Tariq Cohen as number one, Dalvin Cook as number two, and Kerryon Johnson as number three. Tariq Cohen, we know what this guy can do, and I think Matt Nagy is going to use the crap out of him this year. Now he does have David Montgomery back there in the back. I believe he's right now, according to the Lions – first depth chart, which, you know, is unofficial. Yeah, he's got David Montgomery right now, the third string behind him, and then he's got Mike Davis at number two. So not a whole lot of competition, even though the Bears are probably going to find a way to get those two guys into the game plan at some point in time. Plus, he also returns punts. I don't know if that role is going to be reduced this year or not, but you got to love what Tariq Cohen can do. Dalvin Cook, if he can stay healthy, man, he'll be the number one back, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And Minnesota's offensive line was very inconsistent last year. They did draft Garrett Bradbury at the center out of, I believe it was North Carolina State, if I'm thinking correctly. That should definitely help them out. And then Kerryon Johnson, I love what he can do as well. Obviously, cutting Theo Riddick just opens up a whole world full of opportunity and volume for him. But he's got to stay healthy as well. Plus, it's the Lions, so he's number three.
Yeah, injury history is always going to kind of make you shy away, I think, from running backs, especially because they're already such a short shelf life.
Right, and I mean, I've been doing the mock drafts I've been doing recently. He's been going in the middle of the second round. So that right now, that's too high for me. If I get him in the third round, that's fine. But early second to mid second, that's a little high for me on Dalvin Cook.
So I will hit it with the NFC East and the AFC East. Let's start with the NFC just because it has, I think, the most entertainment value. I'm putting Zeke over Saquon. I think a lot of people have Saquon over Zeke. And I would say,
I said that's a tough decision to make.
It is, yeah. And I didn't make it lightly, but I will say that, like, back-to-back, like, if I had a draft one running back to lead my team, I would draft Saquon Barkley. But if I'm talking fantasy football, I'm not confident in the Giants' offense.
Yeah,
I don't know what the Giants are going to bring to the table to keep teams from stacking the box against Saquon Barkley. And I know that he's incredibly talented, but we even saw it in college where if defenses can get early penetration, if they can stack the box, Saquon is a guy. I mean, he's a human being. He's not Thor. He might look a little bit like Thor, but he's not Thor. They've got to have defenses respect him. I don't know the defenses are going to respect him as much as Ezekiel Elliott. Again, definitely a grain of salt there because keep an eye on his holdout. You know what I mean? Running backs are interesting people. And after what Le'Veon Bell did and what he went through, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Zeke. So keep an eye on them. I think if Zeke misses like the first 3 weeks of the preseason, then I start to get worried and maybe Saquon goes back up. Believe me, it's not a wide gap. And if you were to tell me you're taking Saquon number one, I wouldn't argue with you necessarily. I just think for my money, I'm giving a little bit of the edge to Ezekiel Elliott there. And then third in the division, I've got Miles Sanders and Philadelphia Eagles running back. And I'll tell you, I will be completely upfront and honest that it was Jake Arians of the TDN Fantasy Draft or TDN Fantasy Podcast who really kind of made me take a second and pause and take a deeper look into Miles Sanders and the situation that he's in Philadelphia. Jake has him as his 17th overall running back, which puts him in the RB2 conversation. 33rd running back taken according to Fantasy Pros and average draft position, which I think is pretty good value for him.
Oh,
and
certainly.
I think in that offense, they're definitely going to try to use Miles in a lot of ways. And if he can click with Carson Wentz early, you're going to get a lot of value out of him.
Yeah, man, definitely. I mean, and like you can't really go wrong with either the first or the second pick.
And I will say I do have a don't draft, and it might surprise some people. And it's Darius Geis out of Washington.
I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah, okay. So it's not surprising Evan. So maybe it's a little surprise some other people. But he's just, again, super talented kid.
Right.
But the injuries, and then he's nursing another injury right now. Like he may not even play in the first preseason game because he's suffering an injury, which isn't a huge deal, but it's a bigger deal when you're talking about a young kid, second year, who missed so much time in his rookie season, barely got to show anything before he went down. Actually, he didn't even get to play, right? He got hurt before
game. He didn't play at all. There's no tape of him in the NFL. So, I mean, you on top of the injuries, you have no idea if he's even going to be any good. So, I mean, total red flags everywhere. Just stay away.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he is good or if he is healthy enough to play, I think he will be good. But
certainly,
yeah, zero reason to believe that he's going to come back from this. They have Adrian Peterson. They have Thompson. They've got running backs. They don't – I hate to say this about a guy, but they don't necessarily need Darius Geis to be healthy to come back and to give them the best running game they can get. I don't think the Redskins are going to be very respectful this year. But from the running back perspective, the Redskins have pieces that they don't need to rush Darius Geis back in. If they really look at him as kind of a long-term solution for that position, they would be wise to kind of be – conservative and maybe give his body a little bit more time to grow and mend. If I don't know if it's ever going to happen, though, to be honest with you. But moving over to the AFC East, number one, big shocker, is Lev Bell. It's got to be Lev Bell. I know we missed a year. New York Jets, it's Lev Bell. I don't know. Any arguments there, Evan?
No, not at all. Especially in that division.
Yeah. Now, number two and number three, I kind of went back and forth with a little bit. But I settled on number two being LeSean McCoy and number three being Kenyon Drake out of Miami. I settled with LeSean McCoy because of a little bit of the history. I'm not going to lie, which I hate. You hate to draft names, but
I think that's all he is right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could turn out to be all he is, but I don't know if it's all he is. But, you know, LeSean McCoy, I think if there's a veteran running back who has a chance to bounce back, I for some reason, I feel like Shady. He's just one of those guys that's not going to go away easy. The Buffalo Bills are going to need to do some things to help Josh Allen out. Josh Allen had some very impressive games last year. He did show some flashes of talent, granted, but he's still young. He's still got some issues, so they're going to want to try to lean on some of those veteran presences and playmakers, and LeSean McCoy is still one of those potential playmakers. Kenyon Drake, the only thing that makes me nervous about Kenyon Drake is he does have an injury history dating back to college. And they do have Kalen Ballage sitting behind him, who I have a lot of confidence in. I think he's going to carve out a very nice career for himself. If Kenyon Drake opens the door, whether it be through injury, whether it be through a poor first half, and Ballage is able to get in there, I feel like this could be a situation where you almost, like, you notice there's no Patriots on my list because nobody, like, I hate drafting Patriots running backs because you never know who's going to play. I feel like the Dolphins could be in a similar situation.
See, yeah. Last I read, Kalen Ballage had been running with the ones a ton. He's been getting a lot of snaps with the ones so far in training camp. So I'm right there with you. I could actually put three out of those four running backs in those conference on a no draft list. Number one, would definitely be LeSean McCoy. That would be number one. I mean, I love Shady Man I think it was that 2014 season or 2013 season when he had like 16 touchdowns and stuff. I mean, I love how he plays, and I would love to see him have a big season, but I just think his time's up, man. But then also Sony Michel, just like you said, even though he was dominant in the playoffs, he's had a little bit of injury problems too, but also you just never know what Belichick's up to. And then number three would be Kenyon Drake, obviously, because of the Kalen Ballage deal. So, yeah, I'm right there. You can almost put three of those four running backs on a no-draft list for me.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, AFC East, Lev Bell is the only person I'm even looking at. And knowing that in my league of record or whatever you want to call it, my money league, I draft third overall. It's not going to be Lev Bell, and he's not going to be there when I come back around. I'm not getting Lev Bell, and I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with not taking any other running back out of the AFC East. So, Evan, let's hear what you got for the South.
All right, so starting with the NFC South, and I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey, number one, Alvin Kamara, number two, and then Devontae Freeman, number three. I'm sorry, Bucks fans. I'm really sorry. But Christian McCaffrey, man, I feel like he's more effective in the ground game than Kamara is. I mean, Kamara, and plus we've seen Kamara split a lot of time with Mark Ingram. Christian McCaffrey basically took over this offense by himself last year. Now, the most recent write-up I read on him said that the Panthers are going to plan on not having him on the field as much, but they're not going to limit his touches, so to speak. Love Kamara's situation, obviously. He's got the job now. You know, Latavius Murray was picked up, but Mark Ingram's gone, so it's Kamara's time to shine. And then Freeman, I know Caleb McGarry had the heart procedure, which the last time he had that heart procedure, he was out 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what Tampa Bay is going to do right now. We don't know how much time Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones are going to split, actually. And Ronald Jones has looked great. At least he did while I was down there in camp. And my do-not-draft would – oh, man, I hate to say this, but it'd probably be Ronald Jones. Just because you just don't know how this is going to translate into the regular season. For now, I feel like Peyton's still the better bet and the more sure bet as well.
Okay. And we'll revisit these a little bit. We'll revisit some of these predictions that we're making when we come towards the end of the preseason. Because obviously, you know, these next 3 weeks are going to speak volumes. And then whoever gets the start in the third preseason game. Now, we did get some Arizona media insider tips that Bruce Arians doesn't really give a lot of weight during the preseason at all. So even that third game isn't really as important as it is for some coaches. But still, if Rojo runs out there as a starter in week three of the preseason, that's going to catch some news, some headlines, and people are going to be paying attention.
AFC South. So I've got Marlon Mack. One thing I've learned about fantasy football over the years is you get players that are just on a good offense in general. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. The studs are always going to be studs most of the time, but you can get really good value for players that are on just great offenses because they're going to benefit from the fact that the offenses can move the chains and all that stuff. That's exactly what Marlon Mack's in. Lamar Miller's number two. He's getting up there in age, just not being as productive as he used to be in the past, even though he's still very efficient. And then last but not least is Derrick Henry of the Titans. I still really don't know what the Titans offense is going to do, how effective it's going to be. They said they're going to use Henry a lot more, but he's also got a $5 million backup behind him in Deion Lewis. So Lewis is going to see the field in some capacity at some form during the game. So that's why he's third. And my do not draft is you can go Leonard Fournette just because it's the Jaguars. And Fournette's just so up and down.
Yeah, I don't like Fournette. I haven't since he entered the NFL as far as fantasy running backs are concerned. Yep. And that's probably not going to change anytime soon. My top AFC West running back is going to be Phillip Lindsay out of the Denver Broncos, Pro Bowler as an undrafted rookie. And number two right now, I have Melvin Gordon. And again, he's kind of a situation with Zeke where he's holding this place right now, pending what happens with his holdout as well. Number three, we've got Josh Jacobs. And obviously, when you're talking about rookies, similar with Miles Sanders, you're really talking expectation. You're really talking a little bit of hype. So you would like to get them at a later time, a later round, maybe, you know, but running backs go at a premium, man. So you got to go with a guy that you think is going to get a lot of touches. And I think Josh Jacobs is going to get a lot of touches there with John Gruden in Oakland. My do not draft is Damian Williams out of Kansas City. And right now, according to Fantasy Pros, he's going running back 13, which means he's on the cusp of hitting running back one numbers or average draft positions. And that is a little confusing, concerning to me, since Damian Williams has never been a full-time starter in his career. He's nursing an injury, and I read a report today that Carlos Hyde has looked pretty stinking good there in Kansas City, and there's nothing saying that Damian Williams is going to secure a full-time starting role in that offense.
I like it, man. Phillip Lindsay, especially, because he's got, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse, and I promise you I'm not a Mike Munchak like truther or anything like that, but that's who's coaching the offensive line, so pretty much any running back is going to have success back there behind that line as long as they stay healthy.
And then moving over to the NFC West, number one, I've got David Johnson. I still have David Johnson. I think that he's going to have a rejuvenated season. Look, when you boil it down, with all the struggles the Cardinals had last year, he still finished 13th in the league in rushing, and I think that says something. I think it says something about him as a player, as a running back, what he's capable of doing. Number two, I've got Todd Gurley. I think that Todd Gurley's knee is a very serious situation. I don't think the Rams are trying to play that close to the vest, and for obvious reasons. But I am worried about Todd Gurley. But he's still number two right now. He'd probably be number one if I wasn't worried about his knee. But because I am, I got knocked him down to number two. And then Chris Carson in Seattle. Russell Wilson gets a lot of love, and I know they're going to be missing their star wide receiver there in Seattle. But I think Chris Carson is still going to have a good year. And if you put him on your team, or if some people might even be considering themselves getting stuck with him. But I think if you get stuck with Chris Carson, you're going to be okay. You're not going to lose because you got stuck, quote unquote, with Chris Carson. And then Rashad Penny is my don't draft, and it's probably an obvious pick. I don't think a lot of people need to be told don't draft Rashad Penny. But I put him on there because I really love that dude coming out of college, man. I was really excited for him to come to the NFL, and it just didn't work out. We'll see. Still young, still has time. You know, there's still a chance, but it just doesn't look like it's going to go well.
What I would do is just take Chris Carson, take him off, and put Tevin Coleman at number three, and then add Jerick McKinnon to the do not draft list. I really like Tevin Coleman. I've kind of always been a fan, so I'm going to be a little biased towards him, but he's back in Kyle Shanahan's offense. He knows that offense really well. And I think Jerick McKinnon, I mean, we just don't really know what he can do. I know he's off the PUP, and they're paying him a lot of money, but at the same time, if Coleman gets a leg up on practice, there's no reason for me to think that Coleman's not going to get the majority of touches. And it's not like the Seahawks did Rashad Penny a favor drafting him in the first round. But I'm right there with you, man. He's definitely on the do not draft list. But I'd also put Jerick McKinnon on there as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like Tevin Coleman as well. I think the NFC West, out of my groups, out of the East and the West, the four divisions, I think the NFC West had the best group of running backs to pick from.
Yeah, definitely. I would
obviously
definitely
the AFC East was the worst. Which one was your strongest division running back wise? Which one was your weakest?
I'd probably say the NFC North. Yeah, or the AFC North. One of those two. But if you got to put a gun to my head, I'll say the NFC North. Because I mean, all three. You got Aaron Jones in Green Bay. Who, mm-hmm. if Aaron Rodgers gets back to his old style of play, then he should have a big year. Plus, Matt LaFleur loves to throw to his running backs, and Aaron Jones is a pretty good receiver. So I'd say the NFC North.
There you go. All right, Evan, well, that's going to wrap up our first fantasy episode. Well, not really our first fantasy episode, but our first official fantasy episode of the 2019 season. We'll continue coming back with these during the preseason. This one did run a little bit long, which is sad because it was actually a lot more that we were going to bring to the table. So we're going to have to spitball between now and next Thursday and come up with a shorter format. I think I have an idea. I'll bounce it off you. We'll see how it goes. What do you want to talk about next week? We want to hit receivers and tight ends. We want to hit quarterbacks, or we want to hit defense?
Let's do quarterbacks.
We'll do quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So next week, Evan and I are going to be back with quarterbacks. Folks, you know the drill. If you have your own takes, if you've got questions, like if you're struggling between one quarterback or another, which one should you draft? Which one shouldn't you draft? Why shouldn't you draft this guy? Who's getting drafted too high? Whatever. You know the voicemail number. If you don't, it's 813-444-5841. Drop us a line. Again, this is a fantasy football episode. So last year we had some fantasy football players who weren't necessarily Bucks fans, and that's okay. Go ahead, call us in or call into us. Let us know your questions. Let us know your matchup problems, your draft problems, and we'll try to help you out. As we get into the season, We're going to hopefully work out something with some lineup competitions or some lineup specials. It'll be a fun time. Fantasy football is all about fun, so hopefully we're going to have fun with it. Until next time, find everything that Evan and I are doing over at BucksNation.com. Check out Evan's podcast, the North and South Podcast. You can find that embedded directly into every single Bucks Nation article or on your favorite podcast platform. Follow Evan on Twitter at Evan_Winter. Follow me on Twitter at DH82_Bucks. Follow the show at Locked On Bucks. Follow Bucks Nation at Bucks_Nation. James and I will be back for Friday to do a final preview of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' first preseason game in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Until then, everybody have a safe day, safe evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here at Locked On Bucks. It's just a fantasy. Whoa, it's not the real thing.